Today, we're going to look at this very important topic, and I've entitled the sermon, God Will Take Care of You. And I speak this with much heartfelt experience in the Lord. And He has been so good and so kind, and His amazing grace is just so sufficient to me and my family. And I'd like to thank God for that. And so we look at Luke chapter 12, the verses that we have read just now, and looking at the first part, that is verse 22. And I do, okay, yes, good. That screen is on. And I presume these two screens are not on. Somehow today the wiring is just not working. And the first part says in verse 22, "And he said unto his disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ is now meeting the crowd and meeting his disciples." Meeting believers as well as unbelievers. And then he started off by saying, "Therefore, I say unto you." Why did the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Therefore, I say unto you"? That means that there's something that was said before. And we all know that if we were to look at Luke chapter 12, the incident and the story and the account that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking before this was about the rich fool. There was a very rich man, rich person. But this person did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and always wanted to have his own way, and wanting to chart his life in his own way, and having his goals his own way. So this man is very proud and thinking that, you know, I can survive on my own. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ said a parable to the people who were crowded there. And it said, "The ground of a certain rich man bring forth plentifully." And obviously this was farmer, agricultural economy, and brought forth plentifully. And this rich man didn't even realize that when that farm is bringing forth plentifully, it is really the amazing grace of God that allowed the plants and all those vegetation to bear forth such good fruit and such good harvest. And this rich man say, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Oh, he has got so much, as it were, it is flowing out of his ears. And he has got so much wealth, so much of his gleanings, so much, such great high performance. And verse 18, and he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So this rich fool, this rich unbeliever who ignored God and did not acknowledge that all that he has is from God and all for himself and pride himself and saying that he is fantastic, he is wonderful, he has such high performance. But God says in verse 20, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And he died. That's it. Died. "Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And you can imagine that his wealth being passed to whom? And passed on to the next generation? The next generation might just span away his wealth. Because easy money come and easy it will go. And if it is left to the other beneficiaries, And what will they do to his hard-earned money? It's all gone. And he himself can't bring a single cent to him, with him, after he died. So therefore, his high performance, very, very good harvest, so far as this rich fool is concerned, when he has died, and on that night, when he has died, when the Lord Jesus Christ called him home, called him, and took his life away, all his wealth and treasures, so far as this man is concerned, is multiplied by zero. So if it's multiplied by zero, why was he even so engaged and worrying and expanding his business to the extent that at the end of the day, it's multiplied by zero? So verse 21, God says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God is talking about that treasure. That treasure this man was placing on. And what is that treasure to this man? It is that wealth. It is that field, that agriculture business that brought him so much returns. So God says that that treasure, laying up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God, he does not even acknowledge that God, the Lord Jesus, is his Lord and Savior. But that's it. And his soul is not vanished into thin air. If he did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, his soul goes to hell fire eternally, forever and ever. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the disciples and to the crowd that is with him. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you. You remember this rich fool with all his wealth died, could not take a single thing with him, and the treasure was his agricultural returns. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Do not worry. That's basically what the Lord Jesus is telling the crowd and the disciples. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought. Do not worry. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So here comes our understanding of the scripture this morning. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ say that? We all know that the rich fool was talking to his own soul. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about life. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life. Life here is more than just physical, material things. Like houses, like money, like cars, like clothing, like food, like jewelry, and so on and so forth. Life is more than these physical, material things. Life is also another very important aspect. It's the immaterial thing. And what might these immaterial things be? First and foremost, it has to be spiritual. That spiritual aspect of a human being. Because us, the Lord God Almighty, created us. And we are created us with this physical, material, touchable, handable part of our life, as well as the immaterial, that is the spiritual, the soul, the spirit of our life. And this inner part, which is not the physical part, would also encompass emotions, thoughts, desires, will. And all these aspects It can't really be seen. You can't touch it. You can't put on something over it. And that is immaterial. And therefore, in a human being, there is the physical, there's the material, there is the immaterial, which is our life, our soul, the spiritual aspect. Therefore, life here encompasses more than the physical. But the rich fool was focusing so much attention on the physical, on the material, and on the money, and on the fruits, and on of all those things that his agricultural land produced, and trying to find more, bigger warehouses, barns to keep them. And in the end, pop, he died. Do we know when we will die? That's scary, isn't it? We don't know. We might die. Okay, I probably don't say we. Lest you think that I put a curse on you. I might die afterwards. I don't know. And the people who flew up the plane from Jakarta in 737 MAX, Boeing, and the one in Ethiopia, and the United Nations people that were going into Nairobi, did they know that they will die? No. There is so much life ahead of them, and before they knew it, well, going up a plane, many of us have been through up the plane. And when we go up the plane, we were not like nervous wreck. We will not even think that the plane will crash. But it did. Died. So you and I will not be able to tell when we will die. And therefore, it is about time. And this morning shall be the time to think about it. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Take no thought for your life. Take no thought. And especially so in the physical, material part of it. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Our life. God has created us that we need God. There is this gap, there is this vacuum inside us that we need God. We need our Lord God to fill that gap. And we need the Holy Spirit to reside in us. And therefore we will have fulfillment. And that is what it means where the treasure is. The treasure of the rich old man, well, the rich fool is in that barn in the fruit. The treasure where we will find, put our treasure should be in the kingdom of God. And that soul, that spirit that God has given to us, we must pay more attention to that. God is not saying that we don't care about our food, we don't care about the clothing. God is not saying about that. God is not even saying that we should not plan, we should not provide for our loved ones. God is not saying about that. By all means, provide. And we should. Especially as Christians, if we don't even provide for our loved ones and the people whom God has put under our care, especially our family members, if we don't provide for them, what did God say? We are worse than an infidel. We are worse than a non-believer. At least a non-believer can take care of their families. But Christians, all the more. And therefore, what is the Lord Jesus telling the crowd and the disciples at this moment? So here it goes, that life is more than the physical material. It has the immaterial, it has the spiritual, and it has all the other aspects that form life. So, verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ started off with his exposition and explanation. Is it consider the ravens? Wow. Pause there for a while. What are ravens? Ravens are birds that are detestable, right? And these birds are those that are unclean. If we were to look at Leviticus 11:15, Leviticus 11, verse 15, and raven has been mentioned there. Every raven after his kind. And it is basically all the abomination, detestable, unclean. So this is a bird, in case we do not realize it. The raven is a bird. And this bird is an unclean bird. Now, in a similar account in the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned the fowls of the air. But here in Luke, the Lord specifically mentioned, consider the ravens. This is in a different occasion when the Lord mentioned about this account of taking care of our life. So in verse 24, consider the ravens. Why consider the ravens? First of all, the ravens are unclean bird, and yet, if it is an unclean bird, God still takes care of it. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse, unlike that rich fool that have got storehouse. It does not have barn, unlike that rich fool that has got barn. And you know what? God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? So here is a lesson of argument about the lesser and bringing up to the application of the bigger. So the ravens, the birds, the people couldn't even be bothered with these birds. It is an unclean bird to start off with, and yet God took care of the bird. Right? So when the Lord Jesus Christ said that, don't worry, God will take care of you. The problem with the life in those days, and also the situation that is right now in Singapore, and even amongst us who are seated here, there is this element of this problem of worry. What do we worry? We worry about the future. Oh, that is so scary. What is going to happen in the future? Will I pass my exams? And how well will I do in my exams? Well, I've been in the shoes of young people who are sitting for exams, preparing for exams. And it can be quite nerve-wracking, especially before the exam results are released. Whether I'll pass or fail, or whether I'll pass with good results, and whether I can go to this school, whether I can go to university, and what will happen to my life. And you think, and you think, and you worry so much. Worry about the future. And not to talk about students. We also have adults. You think that, oh, adults, they can earn money and they don't have to worry. Oh, there are lots of things that seemingly adults worry. And we could see that in our church now, we have a lot of young people who have just gone onto the workforce. Well, I've been there before too. And once you've just gone into the workforce, you're thinking of, oh dear me, how can I do this work well in order to receive the praise of my bosses and of my clients and of this performance of mine? Can it reach that performance target that the bosses have given to me? Or worse now, the performance targets that I give myself, because the bosses asked me to give myself those performance targets. And it is so hard to reach. And it's so difficult to attain it. And I'm worried about the future. I'm worried whether I can even do it. Or I'm worried whether the clients will like it. And whether the business will grow. I'm worried whether I can be married. whether I have a girlfriend, whether I have a boyfriend, I'm worried. Well, for those who have just been married, I'm worried about household expenditure and it's becoming so big. I didn't realize that my parents in those times, that they have gone through such difficult times. I'm worried, can I have a family in the future? Do I have children? Oh, you couldn't worry yourself sick. God says that take no thought for your life. What can you do when you worry? Worry strangles. Worry makes our whole being paralyzed. Paralyzed of fear, paralyzed of the unthinkable, and we tend to hypothesize, we tend to imagine, we tend to overthink. When some of us went to Africa, and it was very interesting, because one of our team members taught me a word in Africa, well, the African language. I may not know, forgot what that word is, but it was translated into English. And the English, that's, that word I understand. That word is called depression. And I say, what does it mean in Africa? In African language, depression equals this word, overthinking. Worry. Worry yourself sick. And when you can't even do anything about it. There's one lady whom we will watch afterwards a video during church Bible class later. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom, you know, has written this famous book that has become a movie, The Hiding Place. And she hid quite a lot of the Jews during the Holocaust. And God used her and her family to protect those Jews from being slaughtered in the Holocaust. And she and her family were also imprisoned. And last week we also heard Pastor Paul giving the story about Corrie ten Boom. Remember the fleas in the prison? Now, Corrie ten Boom says this about worry. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow. It empties today of its strength. How apt. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And how many of us really worry so much about something that we have no control over? Young people, you may not have control over the key performance indicators that you have been given. And the more you worry of achieving it, the worse it will become, because you're just empty today of your strength. And then there are people who worry about possible danger. People who worry about outcome. People who worry about misfortune. And some of our Filipino sisters may be worrying about your family members and your loved ones in the Philippines, and you don't know what they are doing. And you don't know what is happening to them. To your son, to your daughter, to your husband, to your loved ones, to your parents, and especially if they are ill, you just don't know what is happening to them, and there is a tendency to worry. So God says here, take no thought for your life about these things in your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave two elements of very common things that we do in our lives. That is, every day we have to do it. Eating and putting on clothes. So let's start off with that. Just the two very, very basic material, physical things that we do. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to tell them that it is futile, it is foolish, even to worry about these physical aspects of life. So, he says in verse 25, and which of you, verse 24, I just read a complete verse 24, consider the ravens. We come back to the ravens, remember the ravens, the unclean bird. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. They did not go and plant those things, and God feedeth them. How did the ravens get God to feed them? The ravens, the birds, woke up in the morning and flew around to look for food. And they will fly in various places to catch worms, to get seeds, and to get food. But they didn't plant, nor did they rear the worms. But wherever they go, the Lord provided them the food. So this also means that, well, we still need to work. Work is part and parcel of the curse that God has given to us because Adam ate the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat. So therefore, that curse is not taken away. We shall still work. The ravens, the birds, work. They flew out of their nest, they flew out of their place, and they went to search for food. But God says that they need not worry, because God will provide them with the worms, God will provide them with the seeds, God will provide them with the food. And likewise, the other fowls of the air, the other birds of the air. And therefore, you and I perish the thought to say that, therefore, I don't have to work. And for young people who have not reached retirement age, that's quite a long way to go. And you were to see the senior folks here, like some of us, that have worked so long in our lives that we have no choice but to say that we need to rest for a while. But for young people, you got to work. And but when you work, it's just like the ravens, just like the birds. You go out there and do your fair share of work, and don't worry, God will provide. You seek the Lord, and you do what is right in God's sight, and do your level best. Whatever things that your hand findeth to do, do it at your best for the glory of God, and God will provide. So here in verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? We cannot even grow taller if we want to. You may eat all the protein shake that you want, and you may eat all that impossible burgers that you want, but it will not make you any taller. And verse 26, If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? So don't worry, and don't worry yourself sick by worrying things that is beyond your control. So this particular portion of the scripture, in case we thought that, oh, it is for that rich fool, and the Lord Jesus Christ is only meant this for the rich fool. No, it's for the crowd. It's for the disciples. And therefore, this sickness of worry, this futility of worry, can attack, can come and descend upon what kind of people? Rich people. It can also descend upon poor people. Well, those people who are materially poor, they'll think that what is next? To eat. No more food. I'm going to worry about food. We know this song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And that author, she has gone through a lot. And one day her daughter went to the kitchen and said, Mama, there's no more food. and daddy has passed away. No more food. And there is a tendency to worry for even this very basic things. But then, mummy said that, don't worry, Elizabeth. We shall pray and ask God to help us. And so she opened the door to wanting, she wanted to borrow some food from the neighbor. And when she opened the door, mummy found a basket of food just outside the door without name. God has moved someone to bring food to that house, to that home. And how wonderful it is. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. So it can be applied to both the rich and the poor. And therefore, don't worry. It can apply to those people who have jobs and those people who don't have jobs. And I know also that amongst us, even amongst the Filipino sisters and brothers, especially trying to get a permit to work in Singapore, Ministry of Manpower is getting it tighter, tighter, tighter. It's going to be quite difficult even to get a permit to work in Singapore. And do you worry about that? So those with jobs and those without jobs, this thing about worry, being worrisome, well, can also descend upon the person. Or, for that matter, the person who did not get the promotion from his job. Or the person who already got promotion. The one who already got promotion is quite worried how he can maintain that station in his life, that job status, and he wants to climb even more, and is worried whether he can climb another rung from an executive to a manager, and from a manager to a senior manager to a vice president to a senior vice president, and it goes on and on. I'm worried whether I can even do that and attain that. And it would also be applicable to people who are healthy, as well as ill. To the ill, you can imagine that, yes, it is whether my illness will be healed or not. And I'm worried. Worried sick. And the more you worry, the worse it gets. And for the healthy, are they not worrying? For the healthy, they might be worrying. Worrying what? If you're very healthy, what do you worry about? Probably worry about being fat. Too fat. Worried, right? I went to the doctor last week. And when I stood on that weighing machine, I said that, you know what? I've been starving for one day. And this weighing machine, I'm sure it's not telling the truth. And I went to the doctor. The doctor, you know, they give this recommendation of how heavy you should be. And boy, when it came out, I said, doctor, you're not being fair. Last year when I came, you said that it should be only, well, it should be, I should not exceed 63 kg. But now you're saying 61 kg. I cannot attain to it. I'm far, far, far away. Right? So the thing is here that even a healthy person can be worried. Standard of living. Oh, I am living a poor standard of living. And I want to improve my standard of living. And you work hard and you do all kinds of things. And you want to show people that you have attained unto a certain standard of living. And therefore, what do? You will show people and buy things that will be very bling bling, and it can be seen from 1,000 miles away that you are having a Louis Vuitton. That you are having the Chanel. But when the ravens were going out there to look for food, did they look for an LV worm? Did they look for a Chanel seed? God gave the raven what it needs. Many a time we worry ourselves sick. So God says that, why do you do that? There is no necessity to do that. So verse 27, God says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wow, we know that Solomon is rich. And when the people went to visit Solomon, they were just astonished of how rich and splendid his lifestyle was. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ said that, you know what? The lilies, consider the lilies, this lilies of the field. Well, it would include the wildflowers in the field. And look at them and how God clothed them. It is beautiful and it is wonderful. And yet these flowers and the plants, that one day it is so beautiful, after a week it is all dried up and it will be put into fire and probably for cooking, to have fire for cooking. And yet God clothed them. So, verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the food part, get it? You don't need an LV worm or a Chanel seed. And likewise for the clothing, you don't need necessarily to go and worry yourself sick by must have all these wonderful things. God knows that you need to be clothed. And God will provide for that. And just like all these lilies of the field. And therefore, many a time we bring upon ourselves all the worries. So here we can see that verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall drink, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God knows that we need our physical, material things. And God gave to his children some more, some less, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Sufficient enough is enough. But therefore, I'd like to reiterate in this part, the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying quit working. No, we continue to work. Even Paul the Apostle is a tent maker, and he continued to work. And he worked very hard night and day, and to provide himself so that he will not burden the churches that were sending him at that time. And likewise, we should work. It's not a permission to quit working. And especially for younger people who are in the midst of growing up and starting a family and so on. Because the ravens look for their food. Likewise, we should also go out there. But be not anxious. Don't worry. Just commit it to the Lord, and all these things will be provided for us, the things that we need. Therefore, we need to work and we need to plan. God is not saying that we don't plan. Last week, we have already learned from the sermon preached here by Pastor Paul that it is not wrong to plan. But when we plan with God in mind and with God in the plan. If God so will, we will do this and that. And God, please show us. If you shut the door, then I will not pry it open. But if you open the door, then I will go in. And therefore, like Pastor Paul said, that our plans, write it in pencil. Let God have that right to erase it and lead us and guide us. So, this inability that will stem from worrying, psychologists would have already given us a lot of advice. But in God's word, it's also true, because so far as we are concerned, and we keep thinking, and which of you by taking thought can add to his stature, we cannot even solve the problem ourselves, and the folly of worrying, and therefore what will happen if we continue to worry? Someone said, worry is the most popular form of suicide, which is so true. And worry, what will worry do to us in our body and in our mind? It will take away appetite. Oh dear, even you have the food, even you have the best food, even if you have Shake Shack in front of you, when you worry, you have no appetite to eat, cannot even eat. And it not only cannot eat, when you have eaten it in and gone into your stomach, worry will spoil your digestion. And then inside there, cannot digest. And worry will take away your sleep. Worry will weaken your mind. Worry will warp your character, will change your character to be quite like a monster. And worry take away your strength. Worry will drive you to be angry. Angry with yourself, angry with others, and angry with God. Worry stimulates disease. And in the end, you really worry yourself sick, and until you have disease, your immunity drops. So, this particular portion of scripture is actually very pragmatic. And why is it pragmatic? Because it will help us to understand that worry actually doesn't help us at all. So, what should we do? Verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. What is seek the kingdom of God? Seek, first of all, telling the rich fool, accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be a personal Lord and Savior. That is the first part of seeking the kingdom of God. And secondly, seeking the kingdom of God for us, those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to serve the Lord. And how do we serve the Lord? Be a channel of God's blessings to one another. And to come and worship the Lord on the Lord's Day and in your home every day, reading God's word. And yesterday a group of us were doing Bible study. And when we were doing Bible study, we were studying on the life of Abraham and how God asked him to sacrifice his only beloved darling son, Isaac. And Abraham obeyed. And we learned from that portion of scripture that it was very difficult for Abraham to obey. But Abraham obeyed. And God blessed Abraham and blessed his descendants until today. So therefore, seeking the kingdom of God has this element of obedience. Obedience is really the highest form of worship. What is the point of us coming to worship and to sing songs and to make a joyful noise unto God and then to greet each other? And at the end of the day, we go back afterwards, worry. To be obedient to God and to seek God's kingdom is, don't worry. Cast all your cares upon God, for He will care for us. And again, another word to our young people. Sometimes you may meet bosses. superiors, colleagues that are like Tyrannosaurus Rex. T-Rex, you know, that dinosaur that has got sharp teeth. Some of them do look like that. Some of them do behave like that. Growl at you. I had one boss that was a T-Rex when I started work. And I tell you, I was worried. Will he eat me up? Because when I was in his room, in his office, he was talking on the telephone. And then after that, someone agitated him and he smashed his telephone. You know those days with that cord thing. Smashed that telephone. The telephone broke. I said, the next will be me. All right. So what do I do? I was a very young Christian at that time. I said, God, I cannot do anything to this T-Rex. And he is my immediate boss. So time went on. And this boss somehow knew that I was a Christian. One fine day, this boss became a lamb. He became that wonderful, cuddly, lovely, well-mannered lamb. And I said, that how could that be? And one day in Mount Faber, and there was a restaurant, one of my colleagues, I don't even know what happened, went into the toilet, slipped, fell, cut. There was blood oozing out. So my boss quickly went and saw the blood. I didn't know that T-Rex was afraid of blood. And he was fainting. He was actually wobbling out fainting. So instead of helping the one with the blood, we were helping that T-Rex. And then T-Rex uttered, people, call the ambulance. And whatever that Boone's God will help, ask Boone's God to help. I said, that was that T-Rex talking? It was. And did I hear him saying, ask Boone to pray for his God to help? He did. Oh dear me, God, you have answered my prayer. This T-Rex had become a lamb. So young people, you may face difficult superiors, colleagues. God says that, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not only things that you need, relationship, which is very, very difficult to control. And sometimes you worry yourself sick on relationship, especially when the relationship is soured or it is a difficult relationship. Even that, God can take over. And God's word also said, if our ways are right with God, He will even make the enemies to be at peace with us. Do we dare to trust God? Do we dare to just obey Him and just seek His kingdom and do His will and read His word and obey? Wow. If we do that, then God says, no need to worry. God will take care of us. Okay? And then here, verse 33. It says, sell that ye have and give alms. What is the meaning of give alms? It is to help those people who are unable to. Help those people who are really down and out. And they do not have sufficient. Sell that ye have and give alms. Did God ask us to sell off everything that we have? God knows that we have need. He will provide for our need. And He also knows that we need to provide for our families, our loved ones. Sell that you have and give alms. Don't just keep to yourselves those things that God has given you. Give alms, give to those who are in need. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So God is talking about treasure, where your treasure is. And the rich fool, the treasure was in his things, which he cannot carry with himself after he died, and with all the wealth. And here, the treasure that God wants us to really store up is the kingdom of God. And doing God's will, and obeying God. So that is what God wants us to do. And therefore, if we were to obey God, we will know that in 1 Timothy, God says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, that's seeking after God and doing whatever that God wants us to do in accordance with His word. Contentment. The ravens had the worms, the food that God has given to the ravens. The ravens is contented with the food even. It's not asking for branded food. And therefore, whatever that God has allowed us in our station of life to have, be contented. And once we are godly and contented, the Lord says that there is great gain. Do not worry. God will take care of us. Because all things on earth will perish, like the moth will eat them up, right? And so all those things that is material on this earth, and it will go away. And even if we think that we have money, let's say some of us in this room, let's say have got stocks and shares. Let's say have bought certain units and certain investments. It can also diminish a lot. It can. And which means that we do not put our treasure on that. We do not put our focus and dependence on that. All you need is just a trump and see what to do something strange and stranger than what it is today. Stock market will all come down, tumbling down. And things are already going very volatile these days. And will there be a global financial crisis as in 2008? We don't know. And the economists, well, who are seemingly able to predict what is going to happen in the future and how much GDP growth and so on, they have coined a word which means that I don't know. And that word is called black swan, because I really don't know. And when they come and they attack, everything falls into pieces. So instead of us being so afraid and worry about the black swans of the world, let us put our trust in God. And be godly and contented, for therein is great gain. So, here we are. Let's, in conclusion. God says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that is in verse 31. God will take care of us. If we commit ourselves and our whole lives and all our worries and all the challenges of our life unto God, God will take care of us. Now, there is a hymn that is in our hymn book, and I think it is 609. I just read to you that portion. Ah, yes, it is. God will take care of you. There is this lady who wrote, her name is Kavila. And there is a man who wrote, Mr. Martin. And you see, there is a Kavila Martin and there's a Stillman Martin. Who are they? Both of them serve the Lord. And Mr. Stillman Martin, who wrote the music of this hymn, is a preacher. So one day when Sevilla, who is the wife, was not feeling well, and was really, really not feeling well, And Stillman said, I think I'll just ask someone to take over, or I will not go and preach because my dear wife is so ill, Sivilla. And Sivilla was down there, did not make any mention. But here came the 9-year-old son. And the 9-year-old son said that, Mommy is sick. Daddy, did you say that you're not going preaching? Daddy, didn't you teach us that God will take care of us and God will take care of Mommy? Oh, the preacher, Mr. Stillman Martin, was pierced right through the heart and said, oh dear, I have not even gone to preach yet, yet my son has already preached. And he went straight into my heart. And the father said, okay, son, take a deep breath. I should not worry. I'll go and preach. And after that, he came back. The wife, Sivilla, actually got better. And they all thanked God. And on that night, Sivilla, the wife, wrote. He said, that son, that 9-year-old son, what a wonderful son. And indeed, you gave Mummy some words to write to testify of God. He said, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Thank you, son, for saying that word. God will take care of us. Beneath his wings of love, abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. So Mummy wrote this whole poem out. And Daddy, remember, whose heart was pierced already, and said that, you know what? I'll put this into music. Went to his piano and came out the music in no time. And came out with the song, God Will Take Care of You, for the family. For Sivilla, for the 9-year-old son, and for him to sing. Little did he know that this song becomes so popular, and we are about to sing it. And we want to thank God that both Sivilla and Stillman Martin, both of them have experienced that they should not worry and that they should just seek the kingdom of God and that God will provide, God will help, God will intervene because God's way is the best way. God's plan is the best and therefore God will take care of you.